If you would, please stand one more time with me for the reading of God's word. And as you stand, I want to remind you today, our pastor always reminds us about the word of God, and I want to remind you, there are so many things about the word of God, and so I want to say to you today that this word given by the Creator has the ability to speak to your soul. So today we invite the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, that this word that we are going to look at today would move in our soul and speak to us, that when we walk away today, we walk away different than when we came in, because He is able. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, but he wasn't recognized, and they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer. Then the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. Thank you, Father, for your holy words. You may be seated. Remember, I'd said to you about in the book of Mark, that passage, that event in there always touches my heart, is always in my heart. Lord, help me to believe and help my unbelief. And so today, as I come to you and pray with you, as we share in the Word of God, it is like a prayer. This is continuing of worship as we come into His Word. It is a form of worship. And we pray that we would hear His words and thank God for His grace that helps us to understand. I'm going to read to you a part of the Friday Focus that I wrote to all of you. God revealed His will and plan through Christ. Through the cross, He purposely brought down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. So this is referring to the book of Ephesians. And Paul is talking about the Jew and the Gentile. And there was, and even still, is a great divide between the two. But when people come to Him and embrace His work, that has been broken down. God's will is God's intention. God's intention is this, to break down that wall. He absolutely wills that we be redeemed from our prejudices towards one another and together come into a saving relationship with Him. This is His will. This is His desire. This is His intention. And He has made it to be through His Son. Today we're going to talk about the recognition of God's revealed will that identifies the absolutes of His nature that we place our faith in. And so we're going to do this by recognition and absolutes. Recognition and absolutes. So when we read in the book of Matthew, and it says, but I tell you, Elijah has already come, but he wasn't recognized. And they chose to abuse him. So here is a lack of recognition. And because of that lack of recognition, they made a choice. That is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Because they did not recognize Elijah, which was John the Baptist, for who he was, they chose to abuse him. Jesus goes on to say, and in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer. I'm going to look at with you Luke chapter 8. And so we're going to start this study together, and I'm going to give you a couple examples of how God is working. You know, when you look in the Word of God, and I know you all know this, but I want to remind you again, when you look in the Word of God and you work to understand, you are literally reading God's will. We all say we want to know God's will. God's will has been purposely given to us by God through His Word. So in Luke chapter 8, I'm sure we all remember, the woman with the flow who came up. And so Jesus is in a crowd of people. It's so crowded and people are literally crushing against him that when this lady came and actually touched his robe, and Jesus had said that virtue had come out of him, he looked around, he says, who is it that has touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, how can you know? There's all these people around you. How could you know? Because he felt the power of God go out from him and touch her. So in this moment, Jairus had come to him just previous to that and said, Lord, would you please come pray for my daughter? She's dying. So as Jesus is still speaking to this woman, then we come into this place. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. And she will be healed. When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, stop the weeping. She isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. So take yourself with me into this, to this place. So we see Jesus, we see the mother and father, we see the child, the little girl. And we see the disciples with Jesus. He's asking the crowd to leave. They're mocking him, they're laughing. He has said that the child is not dead, that she's just sleeping. But it is obvious to everyone that the child has died. And so in that moment, they made a decision based upon lack of recognition of who Jesus was, that he had come into the world, that he was the Messiah, that he was God, who had walked into that room and said, the child is not dead, she's only sleeping. So their reaction is that they laugh. Now, I want you to hold on to that passage in Mark. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Have I ever been in situations, and I'm going to take you back to another place as well for you to remember. No, Michael, this is not in the notes. He asked me to do that. Do you remember Sarah? When God told her that she would have a child, she laughed. Do you and I ever laugh? Have we ever been challenged to believe? When we see the obvious in front of us, have we ever been challenged to believe by God? They laughed at him because they did not recognize who he was. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. I want to emphasize that to you. They were in real danger. What I am speaking to you today, which is the Word of God, recognizes that God is going to ask of you to recognize and believe when things around you are real. You're really afraid. There is real danger. The facts say this. The child was dead. Will you recognize who it is that's speaking to you. Now, I have to say to you, I'm going to just share a little personal with you. And I'm not saying this today because I want you to run right over to the hospital so that I can pray for you. But I want you to know that when I go to the hospital, when I pray with you on the phone, when I pray with you up here, when I meet with you, wherever we are, I want you to know that I take with me what we're talking about today. Because I in myself, by the grace of God, am willing to do it, but I in myself do not have what it takes to do it. Just in general, you may really be hurting. You may really be afraid. You may really be facing whatever that may be, in whatever place we are, and whatever it is that we're talking about. And I want you to know that in that moment, that titles and positions and where you go to church and who you know means absolutely nothing. When you're with someone that is hurting and needing help, in whatever way that it comes, those things won't help you. Who will? Well, I know we all know, don't we? The answer is Jesus. But I and you, as you are called of him, must recognize him and who he is and what it is that he has asked of you or me in that moment. We're going to explore a little bit more about what that means here as we go along. But you see, as we have discovered today, when I don't recognize or people don't recognize who he is, they make a different choice than the one they should have made. And so you and I, as well as we apply that to ourselves, realize that potential is for us. Now, remember I told you earlier to hold on to that Mark passage? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because what we're talking about here is an absolute. God is absolute. What he's asked us to do is absolute. Who he is absolute. We go back to the example where it says that the Lord came in and he healed between the Jew and the Gentile. That was absolute. God, it was a recognition of God's will that this is what God wants and this is what he's going to do. And so for you and I is to say, I'm going there with him in what he's doing. So when I pray, in the choices that I make, I want to pray with God in his will. There it is. He just told me. I do not recognize this dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. I have redeemed all of you and brought you together. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be African American or Native American, whether it be the rich or poor, I have broken down those walls. And I absolutely have done this. And so when you pray, you pray in according to my will. As you yield to me and walk with me, and so you no longer embrace those walls. Let's go back. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, No, it says they were shouting. Real danger. This is important because of what our Lord's response is going to be, because it might be, in a way, these people are in real danger. They're afraid. And by the way, these are seasoned sailors. So when he responds to them, you need to listen to what he's really saying and don't say, well, that was kind of harsh. Because we can do that as well. Lord, I'm in this situation. I'm believing for my child or whatever it is. And so, Lord, you're asking me to believe, this is too hard. The disciples went in and woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Now listen, this is the rest of this passage. These are the words of the Lord. Then he asked them, "Where's your faith?" Now, could we interpret that maybe as, you know, could you imagine yourself in a life-threatening situation? You go to Jesus, you ask for his help, and he hears you and he responds, and then he says to you, "Where's your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? And that is what we're doing today. Who is this man? Who is this man that you have embraced? Who is this man that you claim as your Savior and Messiah? Who is this man, and what does he say? He was saying to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" These were Jews who had been raised to look for the Messiah. They knew who he was, but did they know who he was? "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And so he is exhorting them to say, "Do you see who I am?" If they had recognized who he was, can you imagine yourself in that boat right now? Could you imagine that, being terrified? Have you ever been terrified? Have you been afraid? Really afraid? And the Lord comes to you and he touches you and he says, "Where is your faith?" He is not saying it. Here's something that we need to remember. This is one of those absolutes. God is never against you. God is never your enemy. God is always for you. God is always working for your good. God died for you, rose for you. He loved you before you loved him. The only reason you know any of that is because he has revealed it, because it is his will. So when he says, "Where is your faith?" he is basing that upon who he is and what he has done and what he has revealed. And he's asking them and you and I to look and see and respond and embrace. And our response can be, "That's too hard." And God will continue to say to us, where's your faith? And the father who is believing for his son, that had belief for his son, how long? And watched his child how many times go through this? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What is he saying? Lord, help me to recognize who you are and what your will is and what it is that you intend to do with me. And Jesus had already revealed to him, I am going to heal your son. Do you believe? I'm going to read you something. And in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 7, these words are used about our Lord. Someone is going to respond to him, and the Word of God records literally that our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, was amazed. That's what you want to do with Scripture. You want to look and you want to see, you want to hear what it's saying. Our Lord was amazed at what this man said. That should get our attention. The Lord Jesus Christ is amazed at something somebody said. Wow. I really want to hear what was said that got our Lord's attention. Without raising your hand, who here would like to have the Lord's attention? Yes? God himself? Yeah. Joyce raised her hand anyway because she wants him to know, Lord, I want your attention. I want your voice. I want to hear you. I want to know what you think. I want to know what pleases you. I want to be near you. I want to embrace you. I want to be with you in your will. Now remember, one more time I'm going to say to you, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Listen to what this man says. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of many superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. I want to stop there for just a minute because I think all of you know, maybe some of you don't know, that I was in the military for years. And so this is a military man, this is a Roman officer who's speaking to Jesus. And so these, many Romans considered themselves obviously superior to the Jews, superior to any religion that they had or whatever, but this man was not so. He had embraced the Almighty by faith. Yet he was a powerful man, representing a powerful nation. And he had a powerful position. But he understood who Jesus was. And he said, I'm not even worthy to come into your presence and ask this. Now, referring back to me being in the military, I have a particular understanding of this, or anybody that's been in the military will understand this. Right, Dick? Someone gives you a command. Do you stop and talk about it for a while? Do you say, well, I don't know if I really want to do that or not? Right, Dick? Right. You were given an order. You obeyed. There was no deliberation. There was no panel or committee or, you know, let's sit down here in a group and let's have a discussion about what's been asked of us. Listen, you signed on the dotted line. Guess what? Everything that is said to you, you will carry out. This is the understanding by which this man is coming to our Lord. This is the way in which he's expressing himself in his recognition of the Lord. This is him recognizing the position that he holds and who he is. So listen to his response in his recognition and what he asks of Jesus. Let's read it again. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. No question, no deliberation, no, well, maybe if. I know that you will. Now, this is not today. I want to make sure that you understand this. This is not today us dictating to God what he's going to do. I know you're God and I have faith, and I need you right now to do this for me. Now, we have seen that preached, and it is an error. We do not dictate to God how he heals, but we recognize that he is the healer. When I or you come to him, it is not a matter of maybe he might answer, or maybe he might listen, or maybe today he might care about me, or maybe today he may move in this situation. He has said, I will. So even, I tell you right now, for me, I have gone through some really, really difficult physical challenges in my life. I've gone through challenges in other ways, really tough challenges. Did that mean that God then changed his mind? Does that mean then that God no longer loved me? Does that mean God that had changed his mind? No. I'm standing here today. I'd like to think that you all think that's a good thing that he's done. If you hang out with me very long, you'll hear me. One of these scriptures, one of my favorite scriptures I would like to quote. Jesus said, I and my Father are always working. Not sometimes, once in a while, but there's times when I go on vacation. I and my Father are always working. When I came to a place in my life, and I'm not trying to be overdramatic, I'm just telling you the truth. When I came in a place in my life when I looked up at God and I said, God, am I going to die? And he told me, no. Here I am. I tell you, it's working. Okay? But these things that we're talking about today were I'm going to use an old word, my bulwark, my strength. My God is God. My God is on my side. My God is working. My God loves me. My God cares. My God knows exactly what's going on right now. He knows what's wrong with my body right now. He knows what's going on in my life right now. He knows. As we have said, it wasn't just me. Pastor Brent said that in here too. God is not surprised. He is not unaware. Well, if God knew, why didn't he this or that? God always cares. God is always working. That is what this man is operating off of, by which our Lord, let me jump back up here. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. His servant was healed. I want to say to you again today, and these are not my words, these are his words, and you find them in his word. He does love you. He did die for you. That in itself is enough to tell you anything else that I could say to you about him. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is intimate. His will is for you to be with him for eternity. I'd love to today to be with all of you and just have you tell me back what you know. Take those as anchors in your soul. It is the truth, the absolutes of God that he has communicated with you. And he is asking you to recognize who he is and act upon it. Not dictating to him what he's going to do, but believing him for what he is doing and he is going to do. Jackie. One day, Jesus left the crowds to pray alone. Only his disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do people say I am? Well, they replied, so I want you to apply that to today, right? Who do people say Jesus is today? Now, who do you know that he is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, and others say, you are one of the other ancient prophets risen from the dead. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am?
Sing with me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Nicky Gumbel tells of a story in his life, a little experience that he had. He says, I can't even remember his name. He's talking about a young man that had come and spoken that he'd known for a good while. And I didn't think much of his talk. We were both 18 years of age. He had just joined the Army. As he stood up to give the talk, he produced his Army boots as a visual aid. He called one of the boots Trust and the other one Obey. He described them as the left and right boot of the Christian life. He only spoke for 7 minutes, but his illustration hit home, and I have never forgotten it. Trust and obey are, as he said, a very good summary of the Christian life. We see in the passages for today that they are the answer to trials, temptation, worry, anxiety, fear, failure, and all the other struggles of life. Jesus said, we'll have troubles in this world, but he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I believe all of us know that scripture, and if you don't, that's a good one to have with you all the time. Having struggles in your life is not an indication that God is not in your life. You take these, embrace these principles. You recognize the Savior and who he is and what he says that he does. In them, he reveals himself. Jesus said, if you love me and obey me, I will manifest myself to you. Trust and obey. David Hernandez in the book Praying in the Holy Spirit says, persistent prayer doesn't convince God to bless you. See, that's pursuing God in something that he's already done. I don't dictate to him, and I also don't tell him that he doesn't love me. Keeping in mind, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Let me read it again. Persistent prayer doesn't convince God to bless you. Listen, it transforms you, this whole thing today. It transforms you into one who is capable of receiving God's blessing. His truth, through his Holy Spirit working in you, enables you to receive that which he has already done, and that you were already blessed. And God's blessing is working in you. Please stand with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, upon each one today, Lord, I pray your blessing, God. Lord, help each of us, Lord Holy Spirit. Let this be more than whatever any of us thinks the sermon is today. Let it be the truth of your word that has been said today that would permeate our souls. Because God, you have already done the work in our lives. You say in your word that before the foundation of the world, you loved us. And that you have blessed us. Help us, God, to embrace those truths in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you. God go with you.